This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and today I'm sitting down with Jen Skaggs, who's the Clear Creek Middle School school counsellor. Hello, Jen.
Hello.
And also Bill Hawley, our community prevention manager. Hi, Bill. Nice to see you.
Good morning.
So we're going to talk about sources of strength, which is something that Charles Oskey has been talking quite a bit about and I know has been discussed in many different areas. But really, first of all, I think, Bill, can you tell us what sources of strength actually is?
So sources of strength is an upstream, first of all, prevention program that is strength-based. And ideally, it really is, at its core, suicide prevention. And that's what they state openly and honestly. What I love about sources of strength, though, is that it focuses on protective factors. So often in prevention, we think about risk factors and warning signs and the shock and the awe and the trauma related to whether it's substance use concerns with our youth or mental health concerns with our youth. And sources of strength focuses on developing those protective factors using a model that's innovative, it's interactive, and ultimately it's strength-based. And that's what the sources wheel is all about, are those eight sources of strength that we're getting young people to talk about. What can they turn on? What are their strengths that they have in their lives, as opposed to all of those negatives, if you will, Kate. And so ultimately, it's looking at those strengths. And some of the key ones are, you know, who are your mentors? Who are your positive friends? And with young people, it really comes down to who are those adults in your life that you can talk to, that you connect with. And what we know with middle school-aged young people in particular is that they talk with each other. They want to lean on each other. They want someone to lean on them, and they want someone that they in turn can lean on. And so very much sources of strength is playing on those social networks, if you will. Back in our day, we used to call them cliques, right? And just making sure, and you know, Jen and Dr. Ferris and the incredible staff here at the middle school have done a great job of, you know, working hard to ensure that there are adult staff members who are connected with the students here in grades 6, 7, and 8. And so it's really all about connection and communication and trust and building relationship. And so how can we increase that protection in young people? When you look at the eight sources of strength, whether it's family support, positive friends, mentors, healthy activities, generosity, which oftentimes I think about as kindness and compassion, spirituality, which is not about church or necessarily a given faith, but where do we get that feeling of we're one in spirit, which is a connection, if you will, physical health and mental health. And so looking at those strengths, let's build protection. So it being upstream from a prevention standpoint, oftentimes we're very reactionary. You know, I think about some of the underage drinking campaigns and strategies that the Johnson County Prevention Council has done in the past. And they are reactionary, things like party patrols. So let's create perceived risk among the adults in our community who may or may not be hosting underage drinking parties in their homes. And you know, that's good and that's all well, but that's not, you know, that's pretty much downstream almost to the waterfall. Sources of strength is so far upstream. It's let's increase protection so that people aren't falling in the river in the first place.
Okay, so you've used the terms upstream and downstream. What is the river? Where is the place? Where is the downstream place?
Right. So really, I think about the river as being community, right? And so when you think about a community, how are we increasing safety in that community? How are we increasing protection in that community? And that's what sources of strength is all about, is these eight. And, you know, we each, adults as well as young people, can look and say, you know, right now, my strengths really lie in family support and the protection that I get from family members, the connection that I get from them. So however you define community, and in this case, specific to sources of strength, we're looking at this campus, this middle school campus, as community. And so I think from the staff members who are enthusiastically involved as adult advisors, as well as the community members who are involved, that's really what it's about. It's all about the kids. and what they view as their community, what they view as their sources of strength.
So you're describing something which isn't academic at all. You're describing something which approaches mental and emotional well-being. Is that right?
Sure. I think that when you think about emotional intelligence, sources of strength fits really, really well into those ideas of, you know, having self-awareness, having awareness. You know, I often talk about noticing skills, and you know, Jen has talked about, just since we've launched this with the peer leaders, increased noticing skills in young people saying, hey, you know, I noticed so-and-so wasn't doing so well in the hallway, and so I had a little courage, a little confidence to go and not just notice, but actually not bystand, but go and interact with someone who was hurting a little bit. That's kind of the idea. I mean, this is not rocket surgery by any means, but it is building on the emotional intelligence, the strengths that young people have to create that resiliency, that protection, that sense of safety and security in this community where they spend most of their waking hours.
So I think, you know, a lot of people generally regard middle school as a difficult time because you're growing up and it can be socially challenging and you're trying to find your way. And sometimes we just see that described in a very two-dimensional way as sort of people being mean to you. You seem to be describing something more serious. Jen, what do you see in the middle school that makes you think that this kind of a program is going to fit the pressures and to work against some of the stresses and needs that middle schoolers have? It seems awfully young to be talking about suicide and mental health issues.
So the best part about sources of strength is you don't actually ever talk about suicide. We rarely even use that word because it's about building hope, help, and strength. So we talk about the leading causes of life, not the leading causes of death. And that's what suicide, that's the change that I like about it. In middle school, I would say most adults would not actively say they want to go back to their middle school experience because it is a time when your brain is completely developing. You're on an emotional roller coaster. I love it because every single day is different in the middle school, and I love that about middle school, and I love the challenges about it. Why do I think it'll work here? Because it's student driven, and it's around eight things that it's hard to argue that people don't need to find that balance. So middle schoolers have stress. They're trying to find balance within their busy lives. They're trying to find balance in, they're pulling more away from parents and it's more about their peers, which is developmentally appropriate. And so they're trying to be bigger people, but they're still small people, and they're figuring out, how do I support my friend, or how do I, things I see on social media, how do I deal with those different things? And so those strengths, going back to those strengths, is a huge part of that. The best part, I think, also about it, it's not a curriculum. It's not something we sit down and teach everyone. It's not adults talking to kids. It is kids talking to kids. And I think that is the biggest strength of sources of strength.
So in a minute, tell me exactly how it works, but the thought of kids leading kids who may not actually necessarily be very well equipped with some of those skills that you learn or have acquired when you get to being an adult, kids leading kids could sound a little risky.
But it's as simple as sitting down and talking about, I've had a rough week and I just am feeling kind of lonely. You know, I really need to build up my connections with mentors, positive friends, and maybe family support. You know, I've been hanging out in my bedroom a lot on social media and I'm feeling that I'm more lonely because of that. It could be a friend's talking about that. Mm-hmm. And just using the sources of, and this is what we're constantly trying to refer to and kids refer to. So what strength can you build? Where can you, so you don't feel lonely, where can you connect? You've got a great aunt you talk to. You've got positive friends. You've got that coach. You've got your church leader, whoever. And so it's just constantly building connections and relationships.
So how does it actually work? You know, this is the first time we've put it into a Johnson County mm-hmm. school.
So it's got a very simple, like Bill said earlier, it's definitely not rocket science. So you have adult advisors who got trained. You have peer leaders who got trained, and there was about 40 middle schoolers that got trained.
40.
I think there's 43 to be exact, yep. But we tried, and that was the toughest part, honestly, of any of this right now, is trying to pick different kids from every group. And it's not, And then the kids, I talked to them and their parents were agreed and they agreed to be a part of this. And then every year we train 40 more people. So that's why it's constantly building skills within kids, but you're focusing on a group of kids who are part of a social network. So each of them is connected to their own little network. And by them learning skills, they're going to share that within their friendships. It's not a formal thing, but if I'm good friends with Bill and he's in my network and I notice he's struggling and I learn some skills, hopefully I can have an impact on Bill. And just, and that's, I mean, that's how the social network theory works, you know? Bad news and good news spreads that way.
I suppose the theory as well is that if you grow them in the middle school, then they'll take that with them up through high school, and then wherever else they go, they will have those skills and they will begin to kind of
connect with others. We're not building them into junior psychologists by any means. It is completely just focusing on what are your strengths. And I mean, even as an adult, I can look at that wheel right now and say, what of that strength am I strong in, and which one am I maybe not so strong in right now and I need to focus on a little bit more.
So how does it actually work in practice? You have your 40 or so middle schoolers. What actually happens so that you know that it's progressing, you know something is happening, and how do you even measure?
It's going to take, it's like up to 3 years probably. I mean, I would say other schools that have implemented it would say it doesn't happen overnight. That's one of the challenges, is you're working with students who are super busy and you have to find a time that you can all meet. And we've now broken off into some committees we're still going to meet every 2 weeks, but we also have committees that are going to work on some different aspects, like getting the wheel out to our school. They're working on this cool t-shirt design right now. There's a group that's going to work on presentations, so to the school board, maybe to some community groups, to a parent group, even to our staff, just presenting back to our staff. And that's, all of them are the peer leaders who are going to lead that. We're just the gutters, the kind of...
The guardrails,
whatever it is. So whatever ideas that they come up with. Our focus for November, December, the kids have chosen, is like gratitude, generosity. This is the holiday seasons are coming. And that is a very trying time for families and for kids. We see stress levels increase dramatically at that time. And so focus on what are the positives you can focus on with generosity and gratitude.
So are kids meeting together? Mm-hmm. And so they meet on a regular basis, or is it more fluid?
Every 2 weeks our peer leader group meets. But now we're broken into committees, and those committees will start meeting next week. So we've had 2 peer leader meetings. So we're very early in this whole
setup. And this is across 6th, 7th, and 8th grade? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The thing I love, too, is we always play games. And not just games to play games, although they are a lot of fun, but games that have meaning as well, that bring about connection. For instance, last Thursday when we met, we played a game called Hog Call. And so we divided into groups of peer leaders, and they each had a different animal call. And then they closed their eyes, and they had to come back together as a group by listening for their animal call. And what we had hogs and cows and sheep and
ducks
and chickens, I think,
was
the other group. Anyway, and it was wonderful because the adult advisors, again, curb and gutter, they were there to make sure everyone was safe. And there was this chaos with all these animal sounds happening. And it was really difficult, but the ducks came together first. And when we debriefed, the young man who kind of took a little bit of a leadership role, he was making his quacks very loud and noticeable. And that's how the other members of his group could connect with him through the chaos of everything else that was going around. And you can see what the learning lesson is here for us, for them as young people, but for us as adults too. There's so many things, there's so much noise in our world that distracts us, that gets our focus going into different directions. And when there's someone who maybe takes that leadership role to say, hey, I'm here to help, I'm here to listen, connection happens. And so, I mean, it took, maybe 7 or 8 minutes? It probably took Bill longer to explain the game than it did to actually play the game. But it was fantastic. And they get that in all their academics and sports or choir or, other activities. That sometimes to be a helper, to connect, or to be connected, it takes intentionality, doesn't it? And so that's one of the things I love about it, is that we have played a lot of games, we're going to continue to play a lot of games that have meaning and that are fun, that create laughter, because laughter, as Irma Bombeck once said, is great medicine. And so it really is very lighthearted, wouldn't you say, Jen? And very intentional with these social networks of, again, increasing protection, increasing resiliency, increasing connection. So
and the whole like games is ties into what our music department does, our volleyball team does, our football team. Like each of these little groups, that's how you build connection in each of the classrooms within their grade level. Those teachers are building a culture within that classroom. So it's just trying to spread the culture where each different classrooms are working together. We want kids in music, art. I started a chess club last night. We want kids from the chess club coming. We want the football players coming. We don't want too many voices of one group. We want to make sure it's diverse. And so other kids can join. But again, Sources of Strength is very direct in. You can't have like the whole volleyball team there because then that's all one voice. You've got to hear voices because every voice matters when it comes to building culture. And we're not, again, we're only focused on those eight strengths and what we can do to teach our peers about that and then build relationships with staff and students and then students and students.
And I would add to your question, Kate, about how do you know, quote unquote, if it works? As Jen said, it's going to take time. And so that analogy of, you know, when the Brooklyn Bridge was being built, after about 5 years, people were asking the question, where's the bridge? Where's the bridge? Well, it's all underwater, all that work underwater to eventually get to that bridge that connects as well. And so it's going to take time. And having said that as well, Sources of Strength is an evidence-based upstream program. And it's on SAMHSA's National Registry of Evidence-Based Programs.
SAMHSA? What's SAMHSA?
So, yeah, Mr. Acronym here. So, Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration. So, it's been rigorously, not easy for me to say at 9:30 in the morning, rigorously evaluated. And it's shown proven results to increase connection between youth and adults in community. So, increasing connection between school staff, all-inclusive school staff, not just teachers, adults in community as well. It's increased school engagement. It's increased the likelihood that a young person will make that connection with a trusted adult when they're really struggling with their health, whether it's physical health or mental health, substance use included in there. So again, from a prevention standpoint, in our prevention work plan for Johnson County, Sources of Strength falls under what the Department of Health in Wyoming calls all focus areas for youth prevention, because it has implication in every dynamic of prevention, whether it's tobacco prevention or alcohol or other substance use prevention. It increases the acceptability of seeking help. And so oftentimes in prevention, we talk about how can we increase help-seeking behavior, right? So it's both the reaching out, increasing help-seeking behavior, as well as how can we empower young people in this case to reach in and to notice and to say, hey, I'm here for you. It's, to me, it's that simple, and that's really the beauty of Sources of Strength.
So it was the evidence basis that drove Johnson County School District to picking this program above others, or how did it come about?
Well, I would say for, I don't know, 5 to 8 years, Bill and I have been talking about this just because we collaborate a lot. And so...
I'm sorry, Jen.
That's good. We collaborate on a lot of things. So I think it finally came down to, like, we needed to share funding and how would this look? And so Bill and I did a proposal. We presented to the school board. Was it last year, I think?
April, maybe.
And then I spent the summer doing some trainings. Bill did some trainings. We did a training together. Then I did some additional trainings. Because part of the sustainability of this is when schools decide to be a part of this, they also want people to get trained to be trainers within it. So that every year you're working on continuing to train kids. And so it's not just a one-shot talk like we do with a lot of presenters. So we bring in presenters and we're passionate for a month and then it kind of dwindles away. And this is the opposite of that. It is truly about sustainability, and Bill and I leading it as trainers, but then if other people want to get trained as well, and then just keep doing it every single year.
So is it possible that it could appear in different forms in different schools, age appropriately?
So it's a, this is the secondary model. So sources of strength has an elementary and a secondary. And so I'm also certified in the elementary one. And the elementary is more of a curriculum. But it is a curriculum that is, actually I wrote it down because I always forget. They basically just introduce these eight things. And then they cover brain and body science. So it's a lot about, which we teach this in schools all the time, using your frontal lobe versus your amygdala. I mean, it's that simple. And then it's emotional regulation. Because when you're feeling unregulated, where can you lean on these strengths, right? And then the rest of the units are all based on that. So eventually kids will be coming from Cloud Peak just knowing about the strengths, which is great. They say, and I guess I do believe this, you can't ever over-teach about a strength or talk about a strength. Because in any discussion, you and I, we could sit here today and just say, let's talk about our mentors in our lives. And each of us could share a story of someone who probably mentored us yesterday or mentored us 10 years ago. And so that's the whole premise of it, is they're going to come with that language, but the secondary looks very different because now they use what they see within our school. If they see someone sitting alone in the lunchroom, I hope that they're thinking about how can I include that person. Maybe it's just two different groups that don't really work well together very often decide we're going to work on a campaign together, and that bends some friendships back together.
So what will happen when this cohort moves up into high school? Will there still be some kind of guardrails, as you described, the curb and gutter? What happens, or will they have established enough of their own skills and resources to be able to just let it freewheel on its own?
I've been asked this a lot. I really think it depends on each school, what if they're ready to do it, or it's a huge commitment. I would be lying if I didn't say that. I mean, it has taken a ton of volunteer time on my time, and I know on Bill's time. And the staff that are willing to do it, it's not, they're not getting paid for it. It's not a stipend, but it is a lot of extra time. And so I think it just depends on where a school is at with taking that. When it comes to the kids, I told the kids, even if they don't decide to be peer leaders and they just come to that one day training, they're going to leave with skills that I think they're going to remember that's going to impact someone's life along the way. So I really, it's not like they sign a contract and they have to come to every peer leader meeting. They don't even have to be an active part of some campaigns. Other kids that maybe didn't even attend might start kind of joining because they learn about it and they're like, oh, I'm passionate. I want to do that. Again, as long as there's not too many voices from one group, that's okay. So it's just evolving. But as far as like their eighth graders that go to high school next year, that'll be up to them. I know individually they'll use their skills.
Okay. And I think a great barometer to that was when we did the training out at the fairgrounds, we had 43 young people there in that training. And the first peer leader training here on campus, 40 of them showed up. So I think that's a pretty good indicator that they get it, that they understand that this is valuable for them individually, and more importantly, for this community collectively. Just watching them interact in that training, we had a wonderful national trainer from Sources of Strength, which is one of the keys, because, again, it's evidence-based. We want to maintain the fidelity of this. And Robin from Sources was just, I've been to a lot of trainings over a lot of different careers. Perhaps the best training I've ever attended as to become a trainer eventually, right, Jen? Mm-hmm. Eventually, that's the sustainability piece.
It takes us a couple years. It's not overnight.
It will take us a while. Like next year when we do the training, we'll bring a national trainer in again, and Jen may take a little more of a role. I may take more of the modules as well. So it's a work in progress. You know, it's becoming. There was something else that I was going to say, and I completely forgot it.
Well, let me ask because, you a question then.
Because I've taken three breaths since then.
So,
for goodness sake.
So we've talked a lot about the positives, and Jen, you mentioned the challenge of time. I think everybody feels that their time is an incredibly precious and dwindling resource, and there's not enough time for all the things that we either need or feel we want to do in any given day. There's a time commitment. How many adults do you have who have been able to?
So we have five. We did a adult advisor training, and we had two community members. Mr. Holly, our superintendent, did it with us. The curriculum director, school board member, or school board leader, I guess, Jan Johnson.
Jan.
And then we had 5 staff members, our principal and myself. So there's
quite a handful.
That's quite a lot. Yeah.
And then as far as continuing, it's the same group, minus the, I just wanted Mr. Oski to sit in, and I wanted Mr. Miller and Mrs. Johnson to learn about sources. They're not coming and being adult advisors per se. But Dr. Ferris, the 5 teachers we have, and then 3 community members are staying involved. And that looks different. We all, again, time is a huge thing. And so having enough adults that all are trained, we can each take turns in different parts that we lead. And so we take turns on who leads the game of the day, and we take turns on who leads the questions. Because a lot of the meetings are one part fun, always one part fun. One part is checking in on a strength. And so whether it be a topic that you bring up, or it be, it could be a simple question, you know, like Thanksgiving is coming. What is something you're grateful for, or whatever? It could be any topic. And then the other part is planning. So these school campaigns. I don't know if we've talked a lot about school campaigns yet, but that's a huge part of, it's not like a student council. It's not like putting on dances or organizing like pep assemblies. It's more looking at these 8 strengths and then coming up with a campaign about one of those strengths and teaching. It could be as simple as the first campaign we did, the leaders all wrote a thank you note at the end of our training. And so those were delivered to, and we asked them to choose someone, an adult in their life, and then we delivered those to those. Mm-hmm. So 40 thank you notes went out right after our training, which I think meant a lot to the people who got those thank you notes.
I'm sure it did.
So that's as simple as a campaign could be. It could be much bigger, and it could be, you know, what does a positive mentor look like? And then, like, let's focus on some mentors. It could be a social media campaign where kids share about their positive friends or the healthy activities that we're involved in. So there's a ton of different things. And when I look at our community, we live in this amazing community of adults that work together, I think, and it's now this JC16 Alliance coming back. I think that is another big part. But I think we've all been working together regardless.
Absolutely.
But we also have like these amazing parents that all work together and help each other out. And they're kind of like tribes to each other. And so it's just bringing all of that down. And now let's develop that within our kids is how I look at it. I just.
And that's another one of the things I actually did remember that I love about this is that it is. I mean, this is collaboration at its, in my opinion, at its finest, and that the school district has some grant funding involved to fund the program, and then through the Wyoming Department of Health and the state, and again, federal funds, Johnson County Prevention is able, we're splitting the funding 50-50, and so we're making do and bringing something on board sustainably that I think is going to have great results. My longtime friend, mentor, colleague over in Weston County, Kate, who you'll remember, Christy Lipp, from the assist training that you attended. They've had it there now for pre-COVID and through COVID. They've had sources of strength. And they're starting to see the results in increased participation, increased school engagement, in just positivity about young people wanting to come to school, as opposed to it being a drag, if you will. Newcastle's a lot like Buffalo in a lot of different ways. And so for her to share all those stories and to share their cowbell campaign with our coalition last spring and things, I mean, it's really cool. And so I'm excited. And still, all the work is happening under the water. And we're not going to really see those. We'll have snippets, I think. Mm-hmm. Certainly last Thursday, you know, I just go by what my heart tells me. And although we had a lot out for choir and other activities, just seeing those young people interact, playing a game, seeing them divide up and go with different adult advisors to do the campaigns or the presentations and just kind of cruising around, listening to their conversations and what they can do to be a positive influencer, right? So that noun influencer is tossed around a lot, social influencer. Well, if they can be a positive influence and a positive connector in this community where they spend most of their day, that's a win-win-win. And again, it's increasing protection. It's increasing emotional intelligence. And again, it's not rocket science, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else that you would like to add that we haven't talked about with sources of strength? I think we've kind of gone over a great deal. I do believe, just to add to your point, I think it's in some other Wyoming school districts too, not just Johnson County School District.
We've got a long list of schools.
Many. Sources of strength is, to use that old phrase, is spreading like wildfire throughout Wyoming school districts. Again, I love this because it doesn't necessarily always happen. Wyoming Department of Education and Wyoming Department of Health have collaborated, braided funding to provide these T4Ts, as we call them. So the one we had here in Buffalo in June, we had folks from Thermopolis, from Rock Springs, from Sheridan, from Riverton. Misha was all the way out in Evanston coming together. And for some of them, it just was wanting to learn, really, because the only way you learn what something is, I mean, you can go to a website, and certainly anyone can go to the Sources of Strength website, sourcesofstrength.org, and learn and see more about it. But when you do the training and you do the activities, that's really what sold me. Jen, I don't think it would be me going over the top big time, maybe a little bit, to say that when we walked away from the training, it was like, okay. Because we had a little trepidation, if we're honest. We had some concern. Mm-hmm. But after that training, no, it's probably the most excited I've been about a prevention program in 15 years that I've done this work in Johnson County.
And I would say, like, I think when I went in, I was overwhelmed thinking, how can we work with other schools? Like, does it turn into this big thing? And they were like, no, it's building your community. Like, it's your walls. We were asked, like, how do you share this with other middle school age kids within Buffalo? You don't. That has nothing to do with it, because it's who's in our building 8 hours a day. This is the culture we have to build. If that makes sense. And so it brought it down to me where I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
We could do that. Like,
hope, help, strength.
Yep.
So Bill, you mentioned the Sources of Strength website. I was looking at that and I see that all the games are posted on that. And
yeah.
So if you're looking for something in your family for a nice holiday game to play.
All icebreakers, yeah.
Yeah, all icebreakers, non-political, non-controversial. All about collaborating and building strong, positive relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just imagine a family coming together, you know, 14 family members around Thanksgiving and playing the hog call game. That could be fun.
Well, thank you, Bill Hawley and Jen Skaggs, very much for informing us about Sources of Strength, and good luck to you and the program.
Thank you.